training and supervising girls and meeting needs of those working with you. So we're going to cover generally these subjects, hopefully this afternoon, if we don't get way late on one or the other, because it is a workshop and we're going to have you do some of the work. But women in leadership, supervision in the office, spiritual responsibility to others, and then responsibilities of an administrative secretary. So shall we start with prayer? Father, we thank you for the privilege that you've given each of us to have a part in your work as helpers. We pray now that you will take control of our discussions, the things that are presented. May they be relevant and meaningful. And as we discuss some scriptural principles, we pray that you will give us the scriptures that are pertinent and that will help us to make recommendations along some of these lines. Help each one of us to be free and have liberty in the things that we say. May we not be judgmental on what each one says, but help us to have the freedom to express thoughts, and then we can later look at them more closely. And so we just ask your direction now, Father, in all of this, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, some people have the idea that NAVs are down on women, but I don't think that's as prevalent today as it was at one time. However, you think about it, you know, we don't have any women divisional directors. In fact, we don't even have any women regional directors. We don't have women on the board of directors except for Lila, who has a permanent kind of honorary position. And we're looking for an office manager. Are we looking for a woman? No, I don't think so. At least not today. And, you know, you wonder, well, will Lorne someday have women as his assistants? He doesn't have them now. Or if somebody replaces Lorne, will they have women on the those that are organizing it? And yet, you know, this week the men have shown it, that they appreciate us. I think that that's been very evident. And they have participated in all that we're doing. In fact, even though women in businesses may have places of authority above what we have, I don't think that generally women in business have the kind of respect and appreciation that we have from our leadership. The average woman in business may not have the same respect that we do. Why is it that we in the Navigators don't have women in places of leadership? What do you think?
Not scriptural.
Okay. On what basis? What kind of scripture would you say it's not scriptural?
Well, scripture of women submit in being in submission in the body of Christ, basically, where most scriptures, I say in Ephesians, well, we talked about the husband-wife relationship, but because way back in Genesis, it talks about the role of a woman being in submission to man, too, from Eve's sin.
Yeah. Now, I think we all have it settled in our hearts that it doesn't mean we're less important, but that it's God's plan of just a different role for each.
But we do have women in places of leadership.
Right. We were talking about divisional directors, regional directors, and that kind. We enlisted those and then went into the other. Yes, in fact, that we do have. And where do we have them? Where do we have people, women in leadership? We're talking about the headquarters office now. Mm. Where do we have women with places? Supervisors, right. And Bonnie, you have a department. How many girls do you have working with you now?
Five.
And it's growing. And Evie, how many do you have working with you?
I don't know.
She doesn't know. Well, about how many?
Somewhere
around 12. Then Evie really has the largest supervision of anybody among the women. Now you, I don't know how it is on the Glen, just how that works, but you are workers in the office, and you don't have more than one or two helpers probably there as far as office work goes.
Four
of you working together. Well, you know, women, however, single women, we have to get our, we get our satisfaction. So our men, I think he's built to have to achieve, you know, in his work. And but where do women, do we get satisfaction in that way? Where do we get our satisfaction?
I think being a support.
Being a support?
Complimenting, mm-hmm.
Complimenting him. Where else? Anywhere.
Serving.
Serving, yeah. And we get appreciation from our bosses, some more than others. And we'll get a little later, we'll get into different kinds of supervisory styles and management styles and working with men of different temperaments. And some, you feel very secure with, they're very appreciative. And others, though you know you're appreciated, they don't say it very much. And then we also have personal ministry. We have the opportunity of watching others grow. And we have the privilege of working with others on the job or outside. And, of course, our main security is from the Lord himself. Well, as far as women in leadership, well, those are just a few introductory remarks. We'll go now to supervision in the office. And living letters, in the lists of some of the gifts, it says an administrator is one who gets people to work together. And that's pretty good definition of supervision. And I've heard Lauren say that the person who has thought through and has a plan is the one who leads the meeting, no matter who the chairman is. If the chairman hasn't thought through, well, pretty soon this person who has thought through and has a plan is the one who's making all the ideas, all the contribution, and in reality is leading the meeting. And if you can't put your plan in writing, you don't have a plan. You just think you do, like he said this morning, and all these objectives, you know. Well, the function of our international headquarters now is to provide service and advice to the entire NAV organization worldwide. That is, to those directly responsible for the carrying out of the NAV objectives. And there's where we get some of our satisfaction, knowing that we're having a part in what's going on all around the world. And though we can't see it, it takes a little more faith sometimes. But we can get our satisfaction from that. And to me, that's a big part, to know what God is doing all around the world and the part that I'm having in it. But when we provide service and advice, we need some highly capable people in certain strategic areas. And we need to secure and train highly developed staff. We need to take advantage of every modern device to eliminate duplication of office work. And we don't want an American-dominated work. Right now, our headquarters office is the U.S. work and the world work combined. It's not separated. We serve both. Some of you may serve the U.S. people more than you do the others, but you serve both. And the day may come when we'll be training nationals in our headquarters office. Or right now, Rod Sargent is on a trip helping people in New Zealand and Australia and Singapore and I think the Middle East and England. Is that about it? Anyway, helping them with their fundraising plans. But it's going to be their fundraising plans. He's not telling them what to do. He's helping them with their plans for their people. And so we in headquarters office need to have a wide vision of what's going on. And the things that we are pioneering in right now, 5 to 10 years from now, we may be the authorities, in a sense, to help others around the world. Not necessarily that they'll do things our way, but that they will learn from the experiences that we've had. And anytime you have people who are highly efficient or who are very capable, why, you're going to have people also who have ideas of their own. And it's going to be a little harder to manage. It's easier to manage yes people than it is to manage people that have ideas of their own. And so it takes quite a bit of supervision to keep these people going. We won't talk today about where we get these people. That's a real problem and a real something. Maybe if we have time, we might get some more ideas from you. But we do have now, and we may have more women in supervisory capacities in the future. And let me ask you a question. And be very honest, even though we have two women supervisors here, they won't mind. But personally, would you rather work for a woman or a man?
I'm for men.
For a man. You would. A man?
A man?
You have women working for you, but you've never worked for a woman, huh? Yeah. Well, I think most of us generally would. And so we have to keep that in mind when we're supervising girls. Realize that that it really, and what can we do about it? We have to learn to sell ideas rather than simply giving orders. And so there are a lot of things that supervising others, whether it's one person working with you or whether it's a whole department. And we won't go into this, but how many of you are familiar with this book? Well, it is excellent. It's the one that Lauren suggests to any of our men. It's ABC of Supervision. It's from the University of Illinois. And I got these 50 cents a piece. If you'd like one for 50 cents a piece, you may have it. It has a lot of good helps in supervising. Leadership based on cooperation. And yet it's just simple kind of things that you kind of know, but unless you see it in black and white, you may not really follow through on. And then there's one thing here that I thought I'd mention. Women at work. Complaints from male supervisors indicate that women, compared to men, are more sensitive, emotional, and undependable, that they are absent oftener and lack interest in work and incentive. In general, men believe that women are harder to handle than men. Whether or not they are, they think they are. And that has an influence on how you handle the women under you, how you relate to the boss over you. And it's like Scotty has said, we have to deal with the mores and the background and the mental outlook that men have towards women. Even though in the NAVs we really are appreciated and we really, I think, have a lot of advantages that some others don't, still there's just something underlying that is there, and part of it is God's plan, as we've just discussed. But anyway, it goes into job management, how to start a new employee, how to train a person, and some on organization, coordination, control, standards. It just has a lot of helpful things in it. And so I brought some of these, and if you'd like to have one, you may. 50 cents a piece. Okay. But one of the things that in supervising is building personal relationships with our associates. And it's the same as building a ministry team. This week, most of what we've done has been ministry teams. Some of you have apartments, some of you have ministry teams, but so much of what we've heard can also be related to the people we work with. And getting objectives for them is just one illustration. And acceptance. Accepting them as they are and helping them become better. Communicating. Taking time. And one of Lauren's favorite expressions is, results are best accomplished by friends working together. And so if you can make them your friend, then you have a lot more cooperation and you're way ahead. People have hopes, fears, desires, families, personal needs, and these must be taken into account. And anytime you have people working with you, you have to realize that, be concerned about their whole life. And yet that's very demanding. And I think that's the place that I fall short, and that I need to learn more, because so often it's just easier to stick to the job. I've got this job to do, and people, there are times you have to turn your back on them, but then there are other times too when you could take a personal interest in the person and not be quite so centered on the thing right at hand. And I have to learn things. But we need to create an environment in which people can grow, help the individual realize her full potential. And let me ask you this. In fact, let's have just a little buzz session on it. Two, maybe the three of you back there and you two. Do you feel that in the navigators, we tend, in our navigator office, in your office situation, where you are, our office situation, do we tend to use our people more than we think of their welfare? Okay, buzz about it just a little bit. Now about standards. What are they? Who sets them? And how do we convey them? And when I'm talking about standards, I'm not talking about standards of work. I'm talking about relationships between people and attitudes and that kind of thing. Behavior, you know, promptness, laxness in office hours, using our time wisely, supplies, equipment. Attitudes, pace setting, backing up your assistant, never criticize her publicly, give praise when deserved. And we could go into attitudes a little bit, but there are two particular phases that I would like for us to see if we can find some principle, some scriptural principles on. Now, these are things that we, as girls, it's not up to us particularly to decide, though we can make recommendations to our new office manager if we want to. But I would like for us to discuss or find out any scriptural principles that pertain to, one, the kind of dress in the office, because that's been a sort of controversial thing. What kind of dress? You know, should we wear shorts or should we wear long skirts or should we wear pantsuits? And the other one is dating among our office staff. And I think that these are things that, you know, have come up and that are something that we really need to discuss. And so I'd like to divide the group into two. Let's see, one, two, three, four, five. One, two, three. Well, I'll put you, Carla, in this group. And I'll put the others, over, Yvonne, over in that group. And I want to, this group to talk about dress. And I want this group to talk about dating. And I want you to look for scriptural principles. Any scripture that you can think of that bears on this subject. And so we'll give you a little time now and get together and see what you have, what the scriptures say on these subjects. And this is one of the things one of the bosses in the office gave to me. He says, one thing is be available. Work at not being away from the desk for prolonged periods. If necessary, let him know where you are and when you'll return. Because we can't carry more responsibility if we're always moving away from our desks. Another one is anticipate his needs. Just little things like pen filled, pencil sharp, and writing pads, coffee for his guests. Number three, do things his way. Don't try to remake him. This man says, if you feel you could improve his grammar, ask him about it. My boss expects me to, so you have to do whatever your boss expects. Another one, be cheerful. Another one, keep confidences. Another one, arrange his mail so that it can be handled easily. Copies of earlier correspondence attached. Letters to other departments have routing slips already attached, arranged and stacked by priority, various things like this. And then the last thing he put down was keep him informed of information coming to your attention, but don't undercut others working for him. So it's one thing to keep him informed, and it's another thing to be a stool pigeon. And you have to use discretion and ask the Lord to know where, what fits. And one thing he didn't put down here, but I know he appreciates. Well, he told me at another time, and that is formulate letters in answer to some of the letters that come in. Only in order not to be too presumptuous about it, you could put a note on the top that says something to the effect, would this draft help you get started? Or here's would this suggestion be a help to you in answering this letter? And many times they'll just sign the letter. And it's a help. But they may feel like you're taking on too much responsibility if you're not using it, if you're not doing this already. But you could begin to do it and then put a little note on.
You know, if you didn't put it on a finished
letterhead but didn't want to rough, they wouldn't.
To begin with, yes.
They probably wouldn't feel the
pressure
that you wanted it to be signed.
Right. Although, as you do it more, then as you do it more, then you want it in the finish, so that they could. Right. Right. Well, thank you all very much. I think that this covers probably as much as we would get done in this time. And I think it's good for us to discuss the kind of things that we discussed, and it will give some opportunities as we have contact with others, younger ones, to bring these things to their attention. And actually, a better thing yet is to get them to come up with these principles like I've asked you to come up with them. Because you feel now more a part of this, that you've had a part in talking it over, than if I had just taken these and lectured to you. And remember that when you're with the younger girls now. You can do the same thing. Don't expect them to just take what you say as law. But you can ask them some of these questions and find out what they feel are some of these principles as you have opportunity. Okay, thank you all for your participation.